Welcome to Chewbacca Bruno Series. I'm your pre-host Rob, welcoming you to the Living Las Vegas podcast, only on the Vegas Video Network.
These nuts.
Don't worry, brother. I'm going to keep you around.
Living in Las Vegas starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast.
I bet he does have some of those. Yeah.
With Robin Speedos. And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
Yeah?
Mr. Scott Whitney. Welcome, everybody, to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. Very nice of you. Hey, let me congratulate you. Because you're watching or listening to the longest-running podcast about Las Vegas that actually originates from Las Vegas, which means I'm not only going to talk about what it's like to live here, but we're going adventure land. That's right. We'll talk about the Strip. We'll talk about Fremont Street, downtown over there, other cool places here in the Valley. And if you are a visitor, a tourist, a fan of our fair city, well, our show is like your own secret handshake to all things cool and groovy. Hey, we're live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific time at VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Again, VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Come and be a part of the show. Coolest people you're ever going to meet are in the live chat. Lots of people running around. Oh, I've got your Kens and your airport limbos and your Binks and your Chicago's and your Derek's and your Leslie's and your lots of mics. Marcus, we got some more mics. We got lots and lots of people. I'll tell you what, they're super cool people. We have folks sometimes showing up an hour before the show just because they like each other so damn much. And as today will be evident, if you're in the live chat, there's a great opportunity for you to be a part of the actual show. Hey, I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa, buenas noches, how you doing, hot stuff. Been an online broadcaster for 10 years professionally, and I run this here Vegas Video Network. So on behalf of me, thanks so much for playing along. Okay, what's the over-under? This could be in a very, very short show. I'm going to go 65 and a hook. Arguably one of the shortest shows we've ever done. It depends, though, a little bit on the live chat. Want to welcome, new to the live chat, Marcus. Marcus is the first time here. He's been watching our show for about a year now, discovered us on the YouTube, and he's from beautiful Laguna Beach. Thanks, Marcus, for not sitting out at the beach and watching that gorgeous place and hanging out with us. We certainly appreciate it. Also want to thank Rob, who, if you were just listening to the show, you could hear somebody in a pool. What was fascinating, it was, Rob is from England, and as you know, most people from England wear Speedos. Rob was kind enough to wear Speedos in that opening video. Fascinating, man. I can see why he's pretty proud of himself. He's hung like a, he's a big fella. So congratulations for Rob for being, as big as bull, big man, big horseman thing. And of course, I want to thank Mike Q. Mike was in town last week for an interview, and we're still waiting for the results of that interview. But Mike was nice enough to leave some beer for yours truly, and I am now drinking Mike's Pyramid or Portland Brewing Beer Smash Pale Ale. Let me taste it. Let me see. Oh, that's some fine drinking right there. Scott, why is it that you don't have a specific topic? Well, that's a great question. Here's why. A couple gentlemen who I've worked with in the past at the studio approached me last week and said they had an opportunity to, they were invited by Fox Sports to send them a couple audition tapes, or audition videos, I should say, audition videos, 2 4-minute videos. I'm like, okay, that sounds pretty cool. And they wanted to shoot it today, starting at noon. And they thought, well, okay, let's, that shouldn't take more than a couple hours. Yeah, it's super, super, super fast. We probably had 20 or so elements for a 4-minute thing. I don't know how many camera takes. So it didn't take us 2 minutes or 2 hours. It took us about five to get through those. And as a result, just didn't have a chance to do this. But here's the best part about being a part of this show, and that is a live chat. These are a curious, curious group of people. So we're going to do what we've done in the past, which is a free-for-all. I'm going to answer any questions the live chat had. Nothing is off topic. I'm not afraid of anything. And we're going to start off with Pops. Pops asks, what needs fixing in Las Vegas? And how would you fix it? Well, the problem with being here for, you know, over several years is that you kind of get acclimated. It's very much like resort fees. Once you get them and you're used to them, you don't really bitch about them anymore. So having lived here, we're approaching 11 years, you tend to forget some of the things that happened when you first moved here. And you're like, what the hell are they thinking here? I got a couple, though. The first that really surprised me is the cost of insurance, car insurance. Car insurance here is significantly higher than it was for me in California. I lived in the Bay Area, a little town called Los Gatos, and which is by San Jose. And so the insurance costs for our cars went up significantly, as did the DMV registration. That was probably even more shocking for the driving. For the insurance part, I noticed pretty quickly that most people don't drive very well here. Now, I come from Southern California, where part of the training is which hip do you carry your gun? Because, you know, we're shooting each other on the freeways in Southern California. So I've done aggressive driving. I've driven in Boston, where if they see your eyes, that's a sign of weakness. So you come to Las Vegas, and holy crap, it's nuts here. I believe that's why the insurance is high. DMV, why is it high? I can't even tell you why it's high, but I don't know. I think Melissa's car, we were paying, what is it, $600, $700 for our DMV registration. That's a lot. So that needs fixing. And how would I fix it? I'd lower the price. I would absolutely fix the parking at MGM. Now, this is kind of a new thing, but we're beginning to deal with it now. So it's been, you know, floating around for the longest time, and it finally became effective at the beginning of June. And so we're now having to deal with it. You know, we had parking, and we had to park and pay $20 for parking to see Garth Brooks. And I just think it takes the shine off of, you know, Vegas. And yes, I know that if you go to other nice places, you're going to be paying for parking. You do. I was at Newport Beach, and they must have added 5 different things to our just the regular hotel bill. They had, you know, valet parking or just regular parking. You'd have paid for either one. They had a Newport Beach tax. They had a California tax. It was pretty silly. But all that did was remind me that, you know, we're beginning to be like them. Whereas before, we weren't like them. We were cool. And there's something to be said for saying to our guests, you don't have to worry about that bullshit. You're just going to come here. You're going to have fun. Parenthetically, we're going to do okay, what with you gambling and all, and what with us having an edge on every game that we have you play. So why not just pump the brakes a little bit and not be so punitive when it comes to parking? How would I fix that? Knock that shit off. The clear concern is that MGM will do this, and then Caesars Resorts will do this, Wynn will do it, Sands will do it. Just like, again, resort fees happen. So I'm not super, super happy about that, and I'm not sure I believe the reasons. I think the truth is, actually in the live chat, Vegas Wee says he blames the millennials for not gambling enough, and that is in fact the truth. They aren't gambling as much, And so because these are, you know, these are companies, they're trying to figure out how to get that revenue up, and they decided parking is the way to do it. Also, an interesting chat question or mention, Mad Chipmunk says that states without income taxes tend to have high DMVs or DMV fees. See, I didn't know that. That's interesting. So maybe that explains a little bit why. But, you know, when you do the calculation about whether you should move here or not, if you move from a place like California, then you immediately see an 8 to 10% lift in your income, or at least in the money that you keep, because you're no longer paying state taxes. So that's an interesting point, Matt Chipmunk, about that. Finally, what needs fixing? Man, we just need to lower the flaky quotient of small business folks here. I've mentioned this many times before, and maybe in California it's the same. When I was in California for, you know, much of that time, I was working for, you know, large companies. But I worked for myself. I started in 1998 my own business, Whitney Communications, which is a website design company, and I was there for 8 years, and I never saw the goofy level of, or lack there of, professionalism from businesses of all sizes. And it's pretty consistent. I mean, I had somebody sign up to the co-op last week, super excited, signs up, comes in, does her free consultation, which we offer to everybody. Want to make sure they know what they're doing. And we were talking about stuff. She wants to do a talk show thing, pretty much. She had actually done her own online broadcasting. It failed many, many years ago. Kind of liked her. She seemed kind of interesting, but a little, you know, out there. She's married to somebody who's very well known here in Vegas at the BC level entertainers. And she didn't really want to talk much about that, but it was interesting. And then I get an email from her a couple days ago saying, you know, I don't have any money. What? How can you do that? And you know, my business doesn't have any money, who I'm working with. And I'm like, well, wait, but didn't you kind of figure? So that kind of thing happens more often than you think. By the way, Vegas Weed thinks it's Pia Zadora. It is not. Pia Zora actually has a gig. She's got a weekly gig over at that Italian place across from the convention center, so it's not her. Okay, Vegas Wee asks what he thinks is a very difficult question. What does Vegas Video Network provide that someone with a good camera and microphone can't do with Ustream? That's a very good question. So we have to make some assumptions with that question. And the first assumption is you're not just shooting video, live stream or Ustream. You're trying to do some sort of live thing is the first thing. And then the assumption that has to be made if you're going to be talking to us, the Vegas Video Network, is also that you're looking to do podcasting. So here's the things that you have to think about when it comes to this. There are two challenges primarily facing anybody who wants to do a new show. The first is getting and growing your viewers or your listeners, and we do both, audio and video, and then increasing the interaction with that audience as well. So this is the problem that we solve. Here's what people are doing right now. They go out and say, oh, I'm gonna do a podcast, and they run out and they, you know, they do what we're hearing here. I'll buy a camera and I'll buy a microphone. As a matter of fact, the last two co-op members prior to the SCAL, actually they're it's four members now, both did kind of what we were talking about here, but it was audio. They went out, hired somebody to tell them what kind of equipment to buy. So they bought all the equipment, you know, good mics, all that kind of stuff. And then they didn't know what the hell to do once they had the content. Because like I said, it's not just about recording content. It's about getting that content out there. So you have to understand first the idea of what storytelling is about. Most people talk about themselves. We call it claiming your own credibility. And so most shows that are business-based shows are people claiming their own credibility. Well, that's the weakest way to establish it. We call that the drunk guy at the party syndrome. So there are, you know, the things that we teach people, which are very, very critical to the success of a show, have to do with, you know, what are the criteria of success for somebody watching you? What's the criteria of success for you? And almost everybody who walks into the studio thinks they know both, and almost every time they're wrong. Once they realize they're wrong, they're like, oh shit, if I had gone down this path, nothing would have happened for me. So part of what you want to do is hang out or be a part of somebody or something, the Vegas Video Network, that has momentum, that can prove they're doing stuff. So we, you know, we did a show about this a little while ago. We've produced over 1,000 live streaming video productions. We've done over 2,000 podcast episodes. We are the most experienced live streamers, live stream producers in Nevada. We are the most experienced podcast producers in Nevada. So with that expertise, we have to talk about distribution. So if you go out and do Ustream and you put it out there, it's just because you build it doesn't mean they'll come. What we have to do is increase the probability of engagement. So we use a distribution idea referred to as the three screens. The three screens are television, desktop computers, and mobile devices. That's where people consume content. So then it's our job to put content on those three screens. And that also includes being on Google, being on an organic Google. So for example, when we produce a brand new show, like this show, the audio version of this show might go on sometime tonight between 11 and 12 midnight, and the video will be sometime tomorrow about 8 o'clock in the morning. Google will index all of those shows within 15 seconds, which means that within a minute of me putting that content out there, it's available as an organic search the world around. That's impossible for most people on most websites, especially for new shows. But it's beyond that. So what are the distribution plays that get us on the three screens? So we're on Vegas Video Network, which is the Google play. Plus, we're seeing about 73,000 page views a month. Then we're on YouTube. We're a partner. We've got about 1,200 subscribers. We're on iTunes. We're on Roku, Livestream, Stitcher, TuneIn, Chromecast, Fire TV, Google TV, Apple TV, Google Play, Twitter, Stitcher, and any RSS feed. So all of those are out there. The truth is we're agnostic. We don't even care how people consume our content. We just want to make it easy for them to do so. So we've actually had people, Danny was a good example of that. I'm not sure if she's in the live chat or not, but when she first started doing her show Niche to Profit, she was having us produce it and then handing it to her. And then she would do all the things I just kind of talked about. And she did one and she's like, I can't do this. This is too much work. I'm taking all the time away from producing content and trying to figure out how to get this crap out there. It was too hard. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the interaction play. So one of the interesting things that happens is we get people from, there's a number of other online folks who are trying to do the broadcast, online broadcast network as well. Plus there's a bunch of people who are in radio. I've had people come from all of those groups who've come to Vegas or come to the Vegas Video Network, and we've rejected every single one of them because they weren't good enough. So to get on the network, we believe that a rising tide lifts all boats. If you're not good enough for the other host, if the other host wouldn't be proud of the show, we're not putting you on. Wanting to be on Vegas Video Network is different than being on it. Plus, we also want to increase the interaction stuff. So radio people talk about this a lot. The number one complaint for radio folks is that nobody calls in, right? Everybody wants a call in, but nobody does. And the reason is because you have to muster courage to make that call. Right? Now, the people who are in the radio station are like, no, you don't, we're easy enough. Just pick up the phone and give us a call. Doesn't work that way because you have to muster courage. What are the exceptions? The people who do call a lot are oftentimes not the people you want to have calling. Do you know what I mean? How do we solve that problem? Well, the main piece of this episode right now, prove it. It's the live chat. While people are afraid to call, nobody's afraid to type. So you type in here. And then our job, both from host and my job for the people on the live chat, is to make smart people look or sound smart. So if somebody types something in the live chat and it's not perfectly worded, well, I'm not going to read it exactly like that. What I'm going to do is reword it so they sound smart. That's the play. Now, what happens when that happens? Again, the live chat's a perfect example of this, the people who are in it now. But if John Smith asks, I don't know, Andrew Dice Clay a question. Andrew Dice Clay is now answering to John Smith. How does John feel about that? Well, he loves that. You think he's going to tell anybody? He's going to tell everybody about that. So now I've got somebody who's helping talk about the show. By the way, how does Dice feel about that? Fucking loves it, because he's talking directly to his fans in, you know, Poughkeepsie or wherever. So that's the reason why it plays. The other reason is because homemade videos are no longer charming. They represent an amateur effort to put your best foot forward. So if this is a hobby, it doesn't matter. But if you're doing podcasting because it's a business play, you're trying to move your story forward. You're trying to increase the probability of people buying from you. You're trying to motivate people to take action on your behalf. If I watch somebody doing an amateur show, it's not a leap for me to think, you know, at that moment, that guy was his own customer and he didn't take good care of himself. How in the hell can I trust he'll take good care of me? Right? The problem with that thinking is nobody tells you that. No one likes to deliver bad news. So I've had it both sides. I've had people come to the co-op or the network and they say, look at this video. I spent $5,000-$6,000 for it and it's beautiful. But it fails the test of authenticity. It fails the test of approachability. So all of these things matter. And most people who do it yourself don't understand those things. So if somebody comes into the network, you know, we don't say you're in. We talk. We figure out, does it make sense? I got somebody who I'm meeting tomorrow who wants to do podcasting. I don't have the first clue if he's going to be a fit or not. I know I can teach him, but I don't know if he's going to be a fit or not. So that's it. It was a good question. I get the question all the time. You don't have to worry about that. All right, Ken wants to know, if I could ban one thing from Vegas, what would it be? Well, I would say tinted windows. I'm sure there's other things, but one of the things that I noticed pretty quickly is drivers suck. And I think part of the reason why they suck is because you have an anonymous vibe to you when you've got the kind of tinted windows here. Now, I'm from California again, and you're not allowed to have tinted windows. So if you see somebody do something stupid, you can go, hey, you, I'm looking right at you. You are a dumbass. Here in Vegas, a lot of people have tinted windows because of the heat, one would assume. But it also creates this anonymous thing in front of you, this curtain in front of you. So you can act like a dick and you're not really looked at. So I really think that should be stopped. On a more serious thing, I would like to ban homelessness. But the problem is I don't know what the solution for that is. My guess is a lot of it has to do with mental illness. And I don't know how you solve that problem. I believe that, you know, part of the reason why there are so many homeless people here is the weather. And you're not likely to freeze to death here 10 months out of the year. But I don't really know what the solution is. I don't know what percentage of homeless people are actually kind of screwing people. I mean, because we've heard of this and we've actually seen, you know, the reports here where somebody looks like they're in trouble, but you follow them around and they get back into a Mercedes and they're off and running. I'm assuming there's not much of that going here, but it's probably there. I don't really know, but it's a heartbreaking thing to watch. And especially now, you know, pretty much every major intersection has at least one homeless person who, when you're at a stoplight, they get in between the cars, you know, the lanes of the car, and they walk down the lanes. And this happens all the time. Last night, we come back from the strip. I'll talk about what we were doing a little bit later. And a guy was standing in between lanes. The car, you know, the light turns green. Everybody's taken off, and he's still standing there. I mean, most of these guys recognize, okay, time to get the hell off the street when the light turns green. This guy was standing there. Jackie was with us. She was in the back seat. Didn't see that he was there as we pulled by him. I'd seen him the whole time, but Jackie was like, what the? Because, you know, she didn't see him. So I don't have the answer to that, but it would be great to be able to solve that problem. All right, Mike wants to know, I remember hearing BG, Brett, was returning to grace us with his being. Has that changed? He and I keep pinging back and forth. We're trying to get his schedule so that he can get there. I don't have much more to say other than that, but you can trust we're trying to get him on here. I talked to him last week and he said, you know, he'd like to do that. I just don't know when we're going to be able to schedule that. All right, Ken wants to know, what's the one thing that Vegas does not have that it should have, but it's not a sports team. Well, so this is a town. Well, this is an area, Clark County, 2.2 million people. It's a lot of people. And as you might imagine, we're beginning to see traffic become more and more problematic. Now, it's not Southern California problematic. It's not Northern California problematic. But we're starting to see that kind of thing happen. Clearly, what this place needs, Clark County needs, is better transportation options for folks who don't have cars. And I'm not talking about buses. I'm talking about mass transit. So like BART or the subway or you know, whatever you want to call those things. I think that would be pretty neat. I mean, clearly there was an attempt to do that with the monorail behind the strip. It has never been considered a success. I think its position wasn't probably great. You know, I'm sure if they had put it down the middle of the strip, that would have been pretty cool. It only goes so far. It only goes down to MGM. It goes from the LVH to MGM and kind of stops. So I think that the idea of mass transit, that not just on the strip, but, you know, let it get it out to the Summerlins and to the Hendersons and North Las Vegas and do it right. Now, I don't know what the cost of that is. And I actually don't know if it's financially viable. But they also, I think it would be reasonable to have it come and go to the airport. Seems like a reasonable idea. Again, a lot of big cities do that, so it's not like it's a new idea. I will say this, though, that there is no question that the introduction of Uber and Lyft to Las Vegas has really changed the way people look at transportation outside of just their cars. I don't know anybody who really likes the taxi environment here. I mean, I don't know anybody other than taxi drivers, and probably not even them, more like the owners. But Lyft and Uber has just completely shook those guys up. You know, in L.A., the taxi income has gone down 25%, and that's attributed to Uber and Lyft. I expect the same thing will happen here. I've said it before. I think drunk driving will go down as a result of here. I think it's pretty terrific. So now getting to and from the airport, Melissa's used it. I've used it not to the airport, but we've both used it for different reasons. And it has been great, you know. And by the way, you go walking down, up and down the Fremont Street Experience, you do it long enough, you'll get a certificate for $50 off a Lyft ride or a Lyft ride. So just walk up and down the street and you're going to get it. So I like that. I also think there's one other thing that would be a good thing to keep in check a little better, and that is some way to keep an eye on HOAs. Since I've been here, I've been in properties with two HOAs, up in Aliante and where we are now. The HOA situation here, well, I'll put it this way. There have been people who have been sued because of how HOAs have behaved. We had a guy on a co-op member show who has spent six figures suing the co-op, I'm sorry, the HOA that he's attributed to. You know, the first HOA we were in, probably could have been better. Wasn't terrible, but there are some prickish things here that kind of annoyed me. The HOA I'm in now, fantastic. You know, they're reasonable adults. They're not pedantic. They're not punitive. They want the neighborhood to look good, which is ultimately the job of the HOA. And that, it's important to understand, what is the job of an HOA? Well, the job is to ensure that our property values increase, stay the same or increase. That's the job, really. So you have to decide, okay, what does that mean? Well, you know, that's what CC&Rs are all about. It's got to look good. It's got to be freshly painted. But like ours, our HOA here, you know, the first time this happened, I was like, what the? Now, so we have a lot of palm trees on our property, both front and back. And, you know, after a while, fronds die. And so we had a couple fronds dying or dead on one of our palm trees in the front yard. We got a letter that said, you can't have dead fronds. Like, okay. Seems a little, you know, aggressive, but I see what you're doing. I see what you're trying to do. So I don't know how you rein those people in. Oh, I do, actually. I don't think it should be allowed that the property management team or company can be more than a year or maybe 2 years. That would prevent any kind of coercion between people who are on the board, in other words, the neighbors, and the often idiots who are with the company that was hired by the HOA to help manage, you know, payments and those kind of things, penalties and those kind of things. So I would say those two things are probably the things I'd probably get rid of. All right. Next question. If you were driving around with your lady, that's between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., and you decide to stop off for a little sweet snack, where would you go? Well, I would say, would you like to lick my neck? Is that a no? Okay. Live chat loved that. They're all going, yes, I believe Scott's neck would be sweet and lovely. Or I'm being called a sick man. I would go for option A on that one. Here's the funny thing. So, for instance, I'm a big donut fan. I love the donut. Best donuts I've ever had in Las Vegas is no shit. It's at Smith's Grocery Store. I don't get it. I haven't been to every fancy donut place around here, but time after time, I'm a maple bar and a chocolate bar guy. Smith's, very good. The Krispy Kreme, oh, that's pretty good. All right, maybe Krispy Kreme. But what about ice cream? So, yeah, I miss Farrell's Ice Cream Parlor. Anybody have that or remember that? God, that was so great. They have those in Southern California. Love Farrell's. But for ice cream, like an ice cream parlor-ish kind of thing, Serendipity 3, which is at Caesar's Palace, it's pretty good. Now, you know, it's not cheap. You know, we've been there before, once or twice, and good ice cream, good stuff. You want yourself a raspberry floaty kind of sundae, suit and whatever, banana split, fratastati, they'll make it. Probably cost you $40, but they'll make it for you. There's a place over on Paris called Hex, H-E-X-X, that the story behind it is very, very good. I mean, it's all homemade. It's on property made chocolates and other candies. The guy who runs it was the guy who used to run a really good restaurant over on Charleston. I just lost the name of it. The problem with Hex, and why I won't go back, is along with all the regular taxes that they all have, they've added this other bullshit tax, and I forget the name of it now. It's basically kind of like an entertainment tax or a luxury tax, and I forget what they call it. You read it, you don't know what it is. They don't tell you what it is. They just pop it on your menu, and I don't know, it's another 5% or I forget, 2%, but it's bullshit, and that kind of stuff pisses me off. So we're not going there as a result of that. Melissa really likes Godiva chocolate. So I if I'm looking to get some points, I would do Godiva chocolate. Although it's not from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., FLM is pretty cool. That's down in Henderson. But they've also got FLM stores, like in the malls at the airport. There's an FLM store. Great place to go. They have a tour you can do. They've got a cool little cactus garden. And quite frankly, if you're out at between 10 and 2 and you've had a couple drinks and you're ready to kind of chill out, Jack in a Box milkshake, those are pretty damn good. I'll take one of those. Next question. How do you stand on the solar power issue in Nevada? Solar power issue. Well, here's the solar power issue. So SolarCity is a couple other companies that were here, and that basically the thought behind it is they put solar panels on your house, and you're using that for your power as opposed to using Envy Energy, which is the only electrical utility here in Vegas. So that was going on for a while, and they were everywhere. Every time you walked into a Best Buy, there was one of these idiots from SolarCity trying to get you to listen to his five-minute pitch. And they were doing pretty well, apparently. They had lots and lots of people here. Their headquarters was here. Probably had 700 employees here at the time. And then some sort of sleight of hand stuff apparently took place, and they were kicked out. Basically, as I understand it, the amount of credits you received for sending the energy back to NV Energy was reduced. So there was a lot of talk about that, big arguments and yelling and Facebook posts and shit. And then it changed. They grandfathered everybody who already had equipment. So if you'd invested in the equipment, you didn't get screwed after the investment. In other words, you were able to take advantage of the business decision you made when you made it, as opposed to somebody pulling the rug out from under you. But moving forward, it wasn't the same. So if you look at it like that, just like that, you can't not say to yourself, well, you know, I think the government is jerking us around. And V Energy obviously has people in the political world up in Carson City, and they've kind of screwed us a little bit, right? So that's what you would normally think. And that's what I thought. And I don't know that that's not true, but here's what I have seen, and it's interesting. There's been a series of very aggressive commercials here in Vegas that talk about the fact that all of these solar guys were subsidized quite a bit. And that's how their business played out. And the argument of the commercials is, I don't mind if you guys are a business and you're trying to, you know, move forward, but we shouldn't have to subsidize you. I shouldn't have to pay for your not using NV Energy, which I agree with. So I don't have all the facts about that. I don't like the idea of having to subsidize businesses, very much like I don't like the idea of having to subsidize an arena or a coliseum or a theater or anything like that. I am a firm believer in the conservative play, which is if you want to build something, then build it. All right? If it provides value, you will make your money. Now, that is a somewhat ignorant perspective. There's no question I don't have all the facts. But given what I've seen, I would much prefer somebody to say, I've got a business idea, and I'm going to put it forward to you. And if you like it, I'll be okay. If not, well, then I'll try another business idea. Okay, so that's it. Thanks, everybody, in the live chat. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. This episode of Living in Las Vegas is brought to you by the Vegas Video Co-op. Because your online presence is often your only chance to begin a meaningful sales conversation, please take a moment and visit VegasVideoCoop.com. Highlight your business, start a talk show, or unleash your genius for a low monthly fee. Use promo code LILV for a special discount to our viewers and listeners. That's VegasVideoCoop.com.
Do it. But have money.
It's time for listener email. It's part of the show where you send an email to boom on air cue at livinginlv.com. Again, on air cue at livinginlv.com. And I'll read the emails if it's a guy. If I have a co-host, they'll read it. If it's female, if I'm the only one here, which I am, I will read both. Let us begin. Our first comes from Morgan Dollar, who is an often visitor to the live chat. Morgan wants to write a little bit about reward points we talked about some time ago. Scott, college teaching, continue education, night classes finally ended for the summer week, so I'm playing catch up on all the Living in Las Vegas episodes. On the episode in the subject above, which was Pick Your Poison number 3, dive bars, liquor stores, on air, blah, blah, Thai food, yada, 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 Wayne is wrong on the CET tier credits. The tier credits are earned like this, and then we're going to read them off. But I thought Wayne and I were talking about MGM credits. And maybe another casino's credits. I don't think we were speaking about Caesars Entertainment exactly, but he writes. This is interesting, though. One tier credit for every $5 you play coin in on real, R-E-E-L, slot machines, and for every $10 you play coin in on a video poker. Reason one for the 10 is on video poker because video poker has better odds than players. See, I thought it was always... And Wayne stated one credit for every dollar in. He writes, I have spent $3,000 year to date. I am a diamond level, and I'm one step away from the top tier 7-star. We get free rooms and free play at Harrah's Cherokee, North Carolina casino anytime we want. In August, we, my wife and I, have a free junket flying from Raleigh, North Carolina to Reno, Nevada, August 23 to 28th. All expenses paid. Room, shuttle, to and from the airport, free play as well. He provides a link that shows a little bit more of this information. Been to Vegas for 10 days in April. Been to Harris, Cherokees, North Carolina around 10 to 11 times this year, about 3.5 hours from home. Reward credits are earned one reward credit for $1 coin in and matched for any money spent in the casino, restaurants, gift stores, etc. The reward credits can be spent in the casino stores. One credit equals $1. Different levels of the tier program, you can cash in reward credits for gameplay. Nothing is free, he writes. You pay for everything one way or another. It's just what you enjoy doing. Hope to be back in the chat next week or two. Morgan Dollar. So, does anybody in the live chat tell me the difference between a reward credit and a tier one credit? Obviously, I'm not a member of any of these reward things. I don't understand what the difference is and what you can apply them to. I'd be interested in that. Okay. Next up, Thomas Riddy writes, love the starting a business in Vegas segment a couple weeks ago and the firsthand stories. Any chance we can get a behind the scenes look at the Vegas Video Co-op studios in use? No. Two reasons. A, really? I don't think anybody would really want to see that. But B, the truth is, if you want to see it, come on by. But there's a lot of really pretty, well, it's kind of secret-y things that we're doing there that a lot of folks are trying to do and they haven't been able to do. So I'm a little disinclined to share the secret sauce to what we're up to. Okay, next question from Laura Meekin, who I believe is from the UK. Laura writes, hey, Scott, and perhaps a co-host, how are you? Sorry this popped in my head, but maybe you can help. So I'm staying at New York, New York, and I hear the gym is a bit meh. So can I, as a guest of one MGM property, head to another MGM property to use its gym and pay, or would it be free? I say free, but of course I mean including my resort fees. Likewise, can my parents do this with pool use, or can you buy day passes to go to a nicer pool? Thanks for the info. Wishing Brett well, and hope to see him back soon. So remember last week I talked about Rosie? Guess what? Rosie is awesome. I think I'll tell you now. So she came up, well, actually I'll tell you later, but Rosie is awesome. So I sent her that. I said, can you find this out? Rosie writes back, good morning, Scott. After a few calls, I got somebody calling. How cool is that? After a few calls, I do not feel positively about MGM having a reciprocal fitness center program. However, I found that sometimes it takes talking to a few more people. I've emailed all MGM properties asking about the reciprocity and, if not, the cost of a one-day fitness pass and or pool pass at their location. I'll keep you posted. So we don't know quite yet, Laura, but we will absolutely find out because, damn it, that's what we're going to do for you. Speaking of Rosie, I will say this. You know how I'm always bitching about the lack of professionalism here? I could do a whole show now that VegasBusinessesSuck.com. Look that up, people. See if it's out there. And then there was Rosie. I know. It's still new. You know, maybe I'm just impressed because I was so not impressed before. But, you know, I sent her the email. She, you know, got back to me in, I don't know, a couple of days. I sent her I said to her, hey, look, it'd be great if you could research some topics for me. She came back with this amazing list of ideas for shows and already came out with the research for the first one, which we're going to do at our next show. Really cool idea. Like I was telling Melissa, she's like, that's an amazing idea for a show. I'm like, right? That was Rosie who did that. So get yourself a helper bee. I'm completely into it. I've started to invite her to be a part of the network, or, you know, be in the network and watch as we're shooting shows. I spared her of today's efforts, but invite her. Thursday, we're back to back to back to back co-op people. We've got two Vegas Video Network shows we're shooting tomorrow or Thursday, and I'm hoping that she shows up. I'm really impressed with what she does. As always, I want to thank again Rob for his intro. And if you want to do your intro for our show, we would love for you to do that. Super supportive. Really like it. Super easy to do. Just take your phone like this and hold it this way. That's landscape, portrait, landscape. And say something like, hey, I'm Dave Smith from Effingham, Illinois. And you're watching the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. Yeah, make a mistake like that. And then you can say anything you want to afterwards. Would really love to have you. If we don't, I've got four of them from Stuart, and I'm playing every one. So if you're in the live chat, for the love of God, send us your opening video. And also, we had a question, I think it was last week, about love. And the question was, where should I sit? Well, we just went and saw Love last night with Jackie. And thank you, Jackie, for making that happen for us. And so Love Retooled, O Retooled, and I think Ka might have retooled. And so I figured by retooling them, you know, they'd probably change a couple of things, maybe 20, 30%. Nope. According to the box office, they changed 70% of Love. So as you know, I loved Love 1.0. I saw it twice and just thought it was fantastic. So went last night. Seats were in section 209, which, you know, may not sound great. Best seats I've ever had at Love. I don't think I've been to a better seat for any Cirque show, quite frankly. If you can get section 209, take them. So here's what I thought was interesting. It didn't have nearly the same effect on me as the previous two times. Now, it may be because it was the third time and I kind of knew it was coming, but I didn't. They really did change quite a bit of it. And they started using a lot of lighting tricks that I know they thought were cool, and they are cool. But in the context of Love, I didn't think they were as cool. The thing that I came away with, and Jackie thought the same thing, it was the show was less optically dense. There was less going on than I'm used to seeing at Love and other Cirque shows as well. It was much more open, and they were, you know, using different lighting. Like, you know how on some, what was the last Olympics, where they did a bunch of lighting on the ground? And it made the ground look like, you know, waves and flooring and all that kind of stuff. So they did similar kind of things in this version of Love, which was neat, but it didn't have the same effect. They use a lot of sheer curtains around this, and they project different kind of images, Beatles and other things. So like they had this extended, what was basically a ballet piece, and had these like characters that were drawn real fast, and they moved and they interacted with the dancer, but it was just really sparse. So if that was the show and it wasn't a Cirque show but something you saw at Smith Center, standing ovation. But because it's compared to every other Cirque show, I just felt like I think you guys could have done a little bit better on this. So if you've never seen a Cirque show, I'm not saying you shouldn't go see Love. I still think you should go see it. My guess is if it was the first time I saw it, I'd be like, wow. And the music is still great, and the lighting is still pretty neat and all of that. But if you've seen it before, you know, I kind of not super happy with the way they changed it. But, you know, they didn't ask me, so what do I know? All right. You know, Ted in the live chat said, I still like Go, but I'm not a Beatles fan. You know, that's interesting about that. I do want to just bring this up, and then we'll get into Have a Drink on Me. The Beatles thing. So I'm not a big Beatles fan as well. I've always thought they were kind of creepy. But the truth is, in the Cirque world, that music is perfect for Cirque du Soleil. Just perfect, because it does have a little creepy, ethereal vibe to it. Plus, they've tweaked a few of these, most of the songs actually. So it's I tell you, I think part of the reason why I was so affected wasn't just the show, but was the music. Oh, the one thing I will say about Love, my favorite piece, act, is this kind of a big guy who's on like a, not a wheelbarrow, but it's like a two wheels with a ladder on it, but it's weighted so the ladder moves. It is my favorite part of that show. I've seen it three times, and he's still there. So I was very, very happy that they kept him around. All right, have a drink on me. It's part of the show where I talk to you guys about a bar I've been to, or a lounge, or a speakeasy. Show you a picture of it. If you can guess it, you can win some pretty fantastic things. That's probably not true. You don't have to believe me, but Pops never lies.
Let me tell you what you can win this week.
This week's Lucky Haddam winner can choose any one of three amazing Scott Whitney guitar CDs. Chrismacoustic 1, Chrismacoustic 2, or Jazzathon. Proudly displayed here by Bob, undisputed king of the video Haddam entry. Or you can choose the comfortable and stylish Vegas Video Network visor like these lucky winners. Available in the standard black and sometimes in the rare, hard-to-find red, popular with the ladies and the Russians. Or you can choose the premium prize package. The next time you're going to be in Vegas, you can arrange an evening of sophistication and class with the man himself, the guru of all things Vegas, Scott Whitney. Well, okay, at least drinks, laughs, and some priceless conversation.
Send your entry into Have a Drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Thank you, Pops. Now, are there other ways to win or increase your probability of winning? Yes, there is. Okay. A correct answer, that is worth one. If you are the first correct answer, that is worth two. If you're in the live chat and you've provided a correct answer, three. If you've provided a picture of you with a good Jazzathon CD, or quite frankly, if you just put a picture of yourself with anything, then we will give you a fourth option. So, for example, here's a picture of the Gajazzathon CD with a baby that hasn't been born. Now, look at that. There's the Gajazzathon CD in Russia. Mother Russia. Okay, now, so that's all the good stuff. Everybody understands how that plays out, and it all makes sense. Again, if you're going to send that email to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com, but there's something else that happens for you if, in fact, that you do win, and you happen to win one of these visors. You put it on, you take a picture, and all things kind of happen. You'll start to hear a slight ringing in your ear. Don't be afraid. Nothing to be afraid of whatsoever, because you are now becoming a part of the galaxy of God. There's Michael and Scott and Nikki and Bud and Helen and Aaron and Fred. They are in a nudist colony. There is Bob, but wait, there's more. There's Bob's wife and Danny, where's Steve? There's Shanna, Jen, and Craig, and Glenn. And then there's Jimmy and Rob. And wait, of course, there's more. And Ken in Hawaii took my favorite. And then there's Stuart and Christina, who's all babies are because of me. That's unlikely. I don't want to get sued. There's Don and Jackie and Michael. I think there's Michael, good luck with your interview. And there's Pops and Sammy and Carol and a dog. Oh my God, it's going some more. There's Brett's dad and your buddy Scott. And there is Wayne, who I saw in this weekend. And then, of course, we can't forget our good buddy Brett. Atta boy. All right. 19 of 20 correct answers. I thought this was going to be pretty tough. It was pretty tough. We got a few late stragglers in there. 19 out of 20. The answer was the Catalina Island Bar. Catalina Island Bar. Catalina Island Bar. That was at the South Point Casino. So congratulations to those of you who got it right. Let's take a look at who those people were. We will begin by... congratulations, our very first one, the very first person was in the live chat, is in the live chat right now, and that first person is Rob Cole. Very first correct answer. Rob is going to do something pretty magical. Most people don't pull this off, but Rob did it. He gets one for the correct answer. He gets one for being the first correct answer. He gets one for having, oh, I don't think I mentioned this, the opening intro video. Oh, you get one for that as well. And he's in the live chat. That means Rob Cole got himself a quad. Way to go, Rebby. Uno, dos, tres, D. Next up, we've got Monica Fagan. One for the correct answer. One for being in the live chat. Monica has is a previous Haddam winner. I had a good chance to hang out with her and Bud. A lovely couple. They tried to sell my visors, so I think they may be having them on eBay. I don't think that's very nice, but what are you going to do? Ken Anderson, one for the correct answer. One for being in the live chat. Next up, we've got Mike Beattie. And we've got Kevin Whip from Canada. And we've got Gary Ronberg, Mr. Testy. And we've got Andy from New Hampshire. But we've got Aaron Perry. Who makes these? Have one of these made for you. Aren't those the coolest things? So I'm Aaron's Facebook friend. You want to see a talented gal? Jesus Christ. What? Look at the things that she makes. It's amazing how she does that stuff. It's like magic. All right. John Herman from New York City. Brent Barnes from Paradise, California. And Craig D. One for the correct answer. One for being in the live chat. He and I had an appointment for a Haddam, and then 5 minutes before he said, you know what? I'd rather see somebody else than you. Which I thought was mean-spirited, but nonetheless, he did that. Okay, we're moving on. Michael G. from Exonia, Wisconsin. Mike was in the live chat before and really struggled with how to pronounce his name, so I'm not going to try to do it again. But thanks, Mike. Oh, he actually wrote something. Oh, thank you for the great show. You're welcome. Andy Z. from Winnipeg. He is a winner and also sent me $10 for shipping. He saw Garth 2 weeks ago and said it was a fantastic show. Rob McAdams, Bloomington, Illinois, writes, enjoyed your review of T-Mobile and High Roller. Prayers to Brett. Wink. Next up. We've got Mike Lazowski, Mad Chipmunk. And there he is, the Mad Chipmunk. One for the correct answer. And one for being in the live chat. Very good. And we continue. First, Alan Perry. Alan writes, hey guys, the Haddam bar for this week is the Catalina bar. Did I show that picture, by the way? I think I may have forgot to do that. There it is again. Is the Catalina Bar, Island Bar, excuse me, at South Point. We stayed at the South Point a couple times, many years ago when it was called South Coast. I remember that South Coast was a good value property, nice rooms at a reasonable price, but it was a pain to get back and forth to the Strip. If you are a horse person around NFR days, well, in December, it makes sense to stay there. Otherwise, I'm not sure what the attraction is. What made you check out this casino and the Catalina Island Bar? Scott Allen Perry, Prescott, Illinois. Or Arizona. I went and saw Chris Phillips, Zoe Bowie, known to many people. He's doing his, he's calling it Straight Up, which is kind of his big band, American songbook kind of thing. And so he was playing there, and so I went and saw that. We're trying to book Chris, so he'll love that I'm telling this story. So Chris and I have been bopping back and forth. He really wants to get on the show. And so we're going to try to get him on tonight. And we talked last week. He goes, I may be in Newport Beach, so I'll let you know how that goes. So I texted him today, and I'm like, hey, so, you know, what's the deal? Do you want to come in or not? Or do you want to schedule for another time? And he sends me a photo of his girlfriend in a bikini on the beach. I'm like, so what's the problem? Your priorities are what? So he's in Newport Beach, apparently. All right, Mike Q, one for the correct answer. One for being in the live chat. And Mike writes a long one. Mike says, Greetings, Scott, and insert co-host here. I guess this week it's Catalina Island Bar at the South Point. I would like to say I had a good time while I was there with for my interview last week and wanted to give big props to Ken for the place to stay. Had a good time meeting Danny and Steve. These guys are very cool. And had a great time seeing my first Vegas show, Raiding the Rock Vault. A note to anyone who may go, I would recommend earhole covers as it took me back to the big stacks of the 80s and 90s. I was able to go see the new Vegas Video Network studios, and it was very fascinating to see how the cameras are aimed and set, how to say white. Basically, he meant how to white balance. Scott was gracious and patient with my incessant questions, and I'm sure it would have gone a lot faster without them. He also did not mention that I thought he might be carrying a concealed weapon, and I'm always nice to people who do that. I did look for the big red button, but none was found at the time. I was able to listen to it live on my return trip, and it was a trip to hear the show playing through my Bluetooth as I was on Highway 58 heading to 99 around Bakersfield, California. Oh, so you did 99, good. Maybe next time I can track down some fellow viewers for a little bit of a meetup. Ken, Rob, Ted, Chan, Tuck, and anyone who might be in the area, I'm looking at you, okay? I gotta go now. Out, Mike Q. Thanks, Mike. Next up, we've got Leslie R., also known as Las Vegas, and she is in the live chat. One for the correct answer, one for being in the live chat, and Leslie writes, hey, Scott. The South Point will be our first stop when we arrive on the 17th. Now I can add the Catalina Island Bar to the top of my list of Haddam locations we plan on visiting during our 10 days in fabulous Las Vegas. Cheers, Leslie R., known as Las Vegas. And then finally, you know him, you love him, you kind of want to see what he has to say. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you a slightly angry Pops.
Hey, kid. You know, I try not to do these get off my lawn type rants, but South Point really struck a nerve with us. It took them less than 20 minutes to lose our business permanently. South Point, bingo players take their game very seriously. A bingo hall is supposed to be quiet like a library. You don't put your bingo hall right next to your kids' arcade and then allow all the kids to hang out in the doorways and knock on the windows going, Mom, 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 Mom. I don't know who to be more pissed off at. The unattended kids, the mothers that left them unattended, or security in South Point that doesn't do anything about it. But no, we're not going to play there. We're not going to go there. We're not going to eat there. We're not going to spend any money there. South Point, fuck you. You're never going to see these nuts again.
Okay, so Bob has come off his meds just a little bit, but don't be afraid. He gets the correct one for the correct answer. He gets an entry for being in the live chat and an entry for the video. Bob, did you send a video or just the entry? Either way, I did not see it. Okay, let's see what we got. It is quite a ways away, by the way. It is 5 miles from the main strip. Oh, I sent you a DM. I didn't see it. Okay, here we go. And our winner is—oops. It's Mike the Mad Chipmunk. Oh, congratulations, Mikey! You win yourself a visor or a drink on me, or one of our CDs. Okay, congratulations. All right, let's see what's on for this week's Have a Drink on Me. 3 very fast hints. Hang on to your hat. Number 1, the Wilson sisters would like this place. Again, the Wilson sisters would like this place. Hint number 2, so would the Tin Man. Hint number 2, so would the Tin Man. Hint number 3, you can park here for free. Hint number 3, you can park here for free. If you know the name of that place, you're going to send it to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. Again, haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. just about called the over-under. Hey, thanks everybody for playing along. No show next week, but we'll be back on the 19th. If you want to leave us a voicemail, you can do that by sending an email to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. Also, you can catch us on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. You can catch us on the YouTube. Give us a thumbs up and share us with all your friends like Marcus does. We're also on Roku, Stitcher, TuneIn, Chromecast, Apple, Google, and Fire TV, Google Play, and, of course, the Vegas Video Network. All right, that's it, everybody. Again, no show next week. We'll see you back on the 19th. Thanks, everybody, for playing along on the Vegas Video Network's Living in Las Vegas. We'll see you guys. Take care. Pick it.